إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، يقول شيخ الإسلام الإمام المجدد محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى في كتاب التوحيد: باب قول الله تعالى في سورة سبأ: حتى إذا فزع عن قلوبهم قالوا ماذا قال ربكم قالوا الحق وهو العلي الكبير. So we continue our classes reading from الملخص في شرح كتاب التوحيد. This is a concise explanation on كتاب التوحيد by our beloved Shaykh Al-Walid Al-Doktor Salih Al-Fawzan Hafidhahullah. And the Shaykh has another explanation of Kitab al-Tawheed in two volumes. I have even more details, and the Shaykh bring more details to these chapters in that book called I'anatul Mustafid. إعانة المستفيد في شرح كتاب التوحيد. Here in this chapter there is no title. Rather, Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab رحمه الله تعالى, he went straight to bring in the texts. From them is this ayah 23 of Surah Sabah: "Until will fear is banished from their hearts, they say, what is it that your Lord has said? They say the truth, al-haq, and He is the Most High, the Most Great." مناسبة الباب لكتاب التوحيد. As now you know, the pattern that the Shaykh follows in explaining the texts that Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad Abdul Wahhab رحمه تعالى brought as a proof in these chapters in كتاب التوحيد. First of all, he mentioned the relevance of this chapter to Kitab al-Tawheed. Why this chapter is in this book? قال أن فيه بيان حال الملائكة الذين هم أقوى وأعظم من عبد من دون الله. فإذا كان حالهم مع الله ما ذكر من هيبتهم منه وخشيتهم له فكيف يدعون مع الله فغيرهم من باب أولى. ففي ذلك رد على جميع المشركين الذين يدعون مع الله من لا يداني الملائكة. He says this chapter described to us the stands of the angels. They are the strongest of all the creation. From all, actually, that the people take an object of worship, because people, not everybody worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. There are people who worship Allah, alhamdulillah that Allah make us from them. And we thank Allah for this ni'mah of al-hidayah, and we ask Allah firmness upon it, and cause us to die upon it. Ask Allah to protect our family members as well from shirk. But many has worshipped others besides Allah. Some worship prophets, some worship human beings, some worship trees, stones, rocks, idols, statues, moon, sun, trees, and some worship angels. And from all of those who's been taken besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as an object of worship, The mightiest of all of them and the strongest are the angels. But look here in this ayah what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about the angels. That the angels, they fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're afraid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how they could be worshipped beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So if the angels, who are there strong, they mighty, and still they have no right to be worshipped beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they don't deserve any right to be worshipped. So those who are less than them in degree, you should know that they stand no chance whatsoever. And they have no right to be worshipped. The Shaykh says in this ayah is a clear refutation against the polytheists. All of them, those who they call with Allah, they call upon objects, and they worship others beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they no close to be, you know, in no close to be like the angels. المعنى الإجمالي للآية, the general meaning of this verse, يقول الشيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه الله, يخبر الله سبحانه عن الملائكة أنها إذا سمعت الوحي من الله إلى جبريل فزعت عند ذلك تعظيما وهيبة وأرعدت حتى يصيبها مثل الغشي. الله أكبر. So in this آية, الشيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه تعالى, he says in this آية in سورة سبأ, Ayah 23. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informing us about the angels. And if you remember in the class we're taking every Tuesdays, alhamdulillah, in when the Shaykh will read to you the explanation of the pillar of Iman, to believe in the angels, in the book, the explanation of Talatid Rasul. And the Shaykh gave us a detailed explanation about the angels, who are they? And they are mighty creatures that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. And they carry many, many, you know, things. They do. They have different roles that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assigned to them. And they are mighty creatures. But look, even though they are mighty creatures, strong, when they hear the wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Jibreel, when the angels, they hear the revelation from Allah to Jibreel, they tremble out of great respect and veneration to that. They tremble, the Shaykh says, in a manner that they may even lose conscious. مثل الغشي, سبحان الله. سبحان الله. And we men, this Quran is revealed for us. And سبحان الله, may Allah rectify our affairs. We hear the ayats, and some people, they play. Quran is recited, they're still talking about dunya. Find people riding in a car, and they have the Quran. Quran Sudais is reciting ayats like this, and Tawheed. People talking about other things. But the Quran is still on. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Quran, لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله. If you were to send this Quran upon a mountain, solid rock, you will see that mountain, subhanAllah, render to dust, crumble into pieces from the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaykh Rabi' Hafidahullah, I was in many of his sittings. When he started talking about the Quran, and talking about this ayah and the like of it, the Shaykh himself, subhanAllah, he changes. His face, you see the change in his face. Even his voice change. Sometimes he can even complete the talk and he excuse himself and go upstairs. Jazakallahu khair. So we really have to give the Quran the respect that is due to it. When the book of Allah is recited, when the Quran is recited, we have to respect. Stop what we're doing. If you are not ready to listen, so we don't turn on the Quran. And we don't start reading, but in the same time, our hearts, this is something else. Our minds are on something else. You know, don't read. If you're busy with something, don't read. But once you choose to read the Quran or to listen to the Quran, you have to give it not only your tongue, your eyes, you got to give it your heart and your mind. Now here is these angels. قال فَإِذَا أُزِيلَ الْفَزَعُ مِنْ قُلُوبِهِمْ. Now, when that fear banished from their hearts, it is the angels now. When the fear banished and go away from their hearts, أَخَذُوا يَتَسَاءَلُونَ. Now they began to ask one another. فَيَقُولُونَ مَاذَا قَالَ رَبُّكُمْ. What is that your Lord has said? فيقولون, they say to each other, قال الحق وهو العلي, أي العالي فوق كل شيء. He said the truth and he is العالي. He is above everything. Allah is above everything. الذي لا أكبر منه ولا أعظم. There is nothing that is greater nor mightiest than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I give you fa'ida here in this La Akbar. Nothing is greater than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah is the greatest. So that's the reason Shaykh Salah al-Fawzan ta'ala himself, he was explaining the salat. And he said that's the reason the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam legislated for us to say Allahu Akbar in the beginning of the salat. He said, he could have said to us in at that moment to say, Alhamdulillah, you raise your hands and say, Alhamdulillah, instead of Allahu Akbar. He could have taught us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to say, Subhanallah, instead of Allahu Akbar. But he taught us to say, Allahu Akbar. Why? He says, because now you're standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you're about to perform one of the most important of acts of worship. And nothing should keep you busy from doing the best. You got to give your best in the salat. And anything you're going to be thinking about, children, money, dunya, job, whatever, when you say Allahu Akbar, the Shaykh said, when you say Allahu Akbar, you're saying Allah is the greatest. Meaning, there is nothing worthy that I be thinking about at this time. Nothing. So you say Allah is the greatest. So you won't be thinking about something else. But rather you be thinking about your Lord, thinking about what you hear from the Quran. You're thinking about that ruku' and that sujood and the like. ما يستفاد من الآية. Some of the benefits of this verse. Number one, يقول الشيخ حفظه الله الرد على جميع فرق المشركين الذين يعبدون مع الله من لا يداني الملائكة ولا يساويهم في صفة من صفاتهم. This is the first benefits from this verse is a refutation against all of the polytheists despite their groups, because there is different groups. Those who they worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those whom they know close to the angels. They don't even share any description of the angels. Nothing. The angels, ibadullah, keep in mind that the angels are not pleased and they never pleased that others worshipped. Never. because they are ibadul mukramun. They are honorable creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La ya'sun Allah ma amarahum wa yaf'alun ma yu'marun, as Allah tells us about them. They never disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, they act exactly on what Allah tells them. So, this is a clear refutation against all of the mushrikeen, the grave worshippers, tree worshippers, monkey worshippers, whatever, dunya worshippers, money worshippers, doesn't matter. Human being, those who worship human being, the stone, the sun, that's futile. And is rejected. Because those who worship greater than all of this, still is not accepted from them. And it is shirk. Number two, إثبات الكلام لله سبحانه على ما يليق بجلاله. Likewise, this ayah affirms speech to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah speaks in a manner that befits His majesty subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number three, أن كلام الله سبحانه وتعالى غير مخلوق لأنهم يقولون ماذا قال ربكم ولم يقولوا ماذا خلق ربكم. Likewise, this is one of the ayats that is a proof that the speech of Allah is not created. It is not created because there is a deviant groups who they say it is created, like the Jahmiyyah, the Mu'tazila, and you're all aware of the mihna of Imam Ahmad and how Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala for long years went through hardship. He was put to jail a couple of times. He was flagged. He was oppressed. He was tortured. And he was firm upon the aqidah of the Salaf, that the Quran is the speech of Allah, غَيْرُ مَخْلُوق, not created. The Shaykh gave us the proof. He says, because the angels, they said to one another, ماذا قال ربكم? What is that your Lord has said? And they did not say, what is that your Lord has created? Okay, they didn't say to each other when they hear the Quran, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving the Quran to Jibreel alayhi salam to convey it to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, ماذا? They said to one another, ماذا قال ربكم? What is that your Lord has said? But they did not say to each other, what is that your Lord has created? Number four, إثبات العلو لله سبحانه فوق مخلوقاته. Likewise, this ayah affirms one of the attributes, sifatul ulu, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above His, all of His creation. And this is as opposed to some deviant belief, or they believe that Allah is everywhere, or Allah is in the hearts of the believers. That's what they say. Say Allah is in the hearts of the believers. Some they say Allah is everywhere. Some they say Allah is nowhere. Have no place, nothing. وَلَيَّادِ بِاللَّهِ. But we affirm to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as this is a principle from the principle of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that you remember it, because it solves the matter. We affirm for Allah what He subhanahu wa ta'ala has affirmed for Himself. If Allah has affirmed for Himself Ali, Al-Ulu, wa huwa Al-Ali, so nobody should deny this. So we affirm for Allah that which He has affirmed for Himself from beautiful names and lofty attributes, and also that which is affirmed for Him by His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Of course, as you know, without tahrif, ta'til, tashbih, takyif, without altering the meanings, because some people say, yes, yeah, Al-Ali, but that's not like that. They alter the meaning, they change it, they give it a false interpretation. Some, they liken it to the, so without likening it to any of the creation, and without distorting nor altering the meaning, and without asking how and the like. That's why the ulama, he says, in a manner that befits His Majesty. If Allah let us know about certain things, alhamdulillah, we say what Allah says or His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us about them. If we have nothing about that sifa from the Quran or from the sound sunnah, we do what the Sahaba did. Naqif. You stop. As Imam al-Awza'i rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, waqif haythu waqaf al-qawm. Stop where the people stop, here the Sahaba. Matters that the Sahaba didn't deal with, we don't deal with. Number five, ithbatu azamatillah. Likewise, this ayah affirm that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Almighty, the mightiness of Allah and the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قال الإمام شيخ الإسلام محمد عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى وفي الصحيح أي في صحيح البخاري عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إذا قضى الله الأمر في السماء ضربت الملائكة بأجنحتها خضعانا لقوله كأنه سلسلة على صفوان ينفذهم ذلك حتى إذا فزع عن قلوبهم قالوا ماذا قال ربكم؟ قالوا الحق وهو العلي الكبير فيسمعها مسترق السمع ومسترق السمع هكذا بعضه فوق بعض وصفه سفيان بكفه فحرفها وبدد بين أصابعه فيسمع الكلمة فيلقيها إلى من تحته ثم يلقيها الآخر إلى من تحته حتى يلقيها على لسان الساحر أو الكاهن فربما أدركه الشهاب قبل أن يلقيها وربما ألقاها قبل أن يدركه فيكذب معها مئة كذبة فيقال أليس قد قال لنا يوم كذا وكذا كذا وكذا فيصدق بتلك الكلمة التي سمعت من السماء This hadith here is an explanation, give us more, alhamdulillah, details as related to what the Shaykh has already said in the ayah of Surah Saba. This is a hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, and it is reported that Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when Allah decrees some order in the heaven, the angels flutter their wings, indicating complete surrender to His saying, subhanahu wa ta'ala, which sounds like change being dragged on rock. And when the state of fear is banished from their hearts, from meaning the angels' hearts, they say, what is that your Lord has said? They say, the truth, al-haq. And He is the most high, the most great. As this is the ayah in Surah 7, ayah 23. Then the steal the listeners, the devils, those who steal, hear this order. And these still the listeners are like this, one over the other. Sufyan, a sub-narrator, demonstrated that by holding his hand upright and separating the fingers. So these devils, still the listeners, stealthy, these stealthy, jazakallah khair, listeners, is stealthy, say it again?
Stealthy.
With the tha.
Like sneaky.
Because they steal. They sit there to get something, from stealing.
Yeah, like, not saying visible, like, they're there, but they're, you don't know.
It's like sneaky. Okay. They hide in, see if there is something coming in their way or something. So the stealthy listener hears a word which he will convey to that which is below him. And the second will convey it to that who is below him. Till the last of them will convey it to the wizard or foreteller. Or the foreteller.
Fortune teller. Fortune teller.
They say foreteller here. Same thing. Or the magician. The wizard is a magician, right?
Yeah.
Okay. The magician or the fortune teller or foreteller. Sometimes a flame, this is shuhu, a fire, may strike the devil before he can convey it. And sometimes he may convey it before the flame strikes him. Whereupon the magician adds to that word 100 lies. But the one who gets it, he will add to it 100 lies. The people will then say, didn't he, meaning the magician, tell such and such a thing on such and such a date? So that magician is said to have told the truth because of the statement which has been heard from the heavens. Who the narrator of the hadith? Abu Huraira. Another name was mentioned in the hadith? Sufyan. Who is Sufyan? هو سفيان بن عيينة. Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, he said, Sufyan here is Sufyan ibn عيينة. Ibn Maymun al-Hilali. That's his name, Sufyan ibn عيينة, because we have another famous Sufyan, Sufyan al-Thawri. Sufyan ibn Sa'id al-Thawri. So sometimes you don't know. They just say Sufyan, you don't know which one. Is it Sufyan ibn عيينة? Or is it Sufyan al-Thawri? The Shaykh here, he tells us that this is Sufyan ibn Uyayna, ibn Maymun al-Hilali, Thiqah, subhanAllah. Look at the title this man had, La ilaha illallah. Thiqah. That's enough. This itself is enough. Thiqah is meaning reliable, trustworthy. Now another big title, Hafidh. Hafidh. You know, it's not meaning Hafidh Qur'an. If somebody Hafidh Qur'an, that's beautiful. This man here, this title was given Hafidh, somebody who's Hafidh Qur'an, Ahadith, Tafsir, Sira, name it, Arabic, name it. Even poetry. Like Sufyan al-Thawri, I heard in one of the classes of our Mashayikh, one of them says that Sufyan al-Thawri, not Ibn Uyayna, Sufyan al-Thawri, this is a man who memorized a lot in every field, but his wicked field, the weakest, meaning that field that he's very weak in it, is poetry. But if he sits right there, he says, for 1 month, reciting poetry from his memory, he don't finish. And that's the weakest. What about hadith? What about? That's the weakest. Nothing. And if he sits, he says, if he sits right there for 1 month, giving them poetry after line after line, line after line, from his memory, he won't finish. La ilaha illallah. This man is thiqa, hafid, hujja. Approve, subhanAllah, la ilaha illallah. And here's another one, min kibar al-a'imma. He's from the kibar of the a'imma, not of this. And that's another thing, to be imam. To be imam. Not imam of the masjid in the salat. To be the imam in the deen. I say Imam Ahmad, Imam, subhanAllah, kana min kibar al-a'imma. Mata sanat 198 al-hijra. He died in a year 198 of the hijra, rahimahullah. From Sufyan? No. It's the other way around. Abu Huraira is a companion. But Sufyan, he's from Atba'at Tabi'in, so he has to hear it from another person or two before Abu Hurairah. Okay? The chain of narration. Because Abu Hurairah died in the year 59 of the Hijrah. Okay? Now, المعنى الإجمالي للحديث. Now the general meaning of this hadith. يقول الشيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه الله يخبر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن تعظيم الملائكة لكلام الله وما يعتريهم من الخوف وتساؤلهم عما قال ربهم وإجابة بعضهم لبعض. Once again, this hadith, the Prophet now is informing us صلى الله عليه وسلم on how the angels have great respect for the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we need to learn from this, ikhwan. If the Quran is recited, sometimes people, they argue, the Quran is recited and they argue. Sometimes a person talking to another person, أخي قال الله, أخي don't tell me anything, I want to hear it, أعوذ بالله, he's telling you قال الله. Unless you're that person مبتدع, from the مبتدع, the innovator, don't listen nothing to them. Naam, the ulama of the Salaf, if somebody is really known to be a mubtadi', not just an ignorant, somebody who is a mubtadi', an innovator, they don't listen to them. Not even the Quran. Even if that mubtadi' comes to one of the imma, like Imam Malik, one of the mubtadi' came to him and says, okay, I want to talk to you. He said, no, I'm not listening to you. He said, okay, I'm going to tell you some of the Quran. He says, not even, I'm not listening anything to you, man. Mubtadi'ah, you don't listen to them because of their danger. But the laymen are different. If somebody go to a masjid, yes, the imam is a great mubtadi', okay, is a mubtadi', but there is laymen who don't know this guy. Now those, you talk to them, and you explain to them with hikmah, with wisdom. Okay? Now you go talk to them. That's what the ulama taught us. You don't leave them for that guy. Every Friday corrupt in their mind. No, you don't talk to him. Stay away from him. And anyone who is close to him, his students, who they are upon, what he's upon, stay away from them. Don't talk to them. Who will talk to them? I'alim, somebody or a strong student of knowledge, who's firm upon the haq, and he knows their dalal, he will go to establish the proof against them and call them. But for us, we don't go and take a risk, because sometimes Ahlul Bidah, they're very vicious, because some of them, they know the haq, and you go and talk to them about the haq, they know it, but because of the falsehood they are upon and the eloquency they were given, then they twist everything for you, man. They bring you a hadith here, I mean here, and get you over here to Bukhari, give you Ibn Baz says, Imam Ahmed. They start giving you all these names, and you're like, subhanAllah, they said he's a mubtadi'. This is, I'm moving here. And that's how people go move to that mubtadi'. No, if you're not, just stay away from them. If the ulama, they say this man is a mubtadi', based on proof, not because of his color, or his country, or his citizenship, no. Based on what he say, his aqidah, his manhaj, what he's teaching, and he's known. Through his statements, through his books, if he has any books, then you just leave him alone. You leave those people alone. As for the laymen who don't know, yes, talk to them. If you can't not talk, give them a book. And Allah, and it happens, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened their hearts to the haqq and the sunnah, and they will leave that person. And they will come and look for a place and a masjid where the sunnah is taught, alhamdulillah. So in this hadith, he mentioned what the state of fear that the angels be upon as related to the Quran. And they ask one another about what is that Allah has said. And then some of them answer the others. And we learn also the etiquette that when we are asked a question and we know the answer, we should answer one another. Just keep it easy. Just answer. If somebody asks you, answer. Don't say, I thought you know this. And put a person on the spot. People know stuff and they don't know many other things. So if you know the answer and somebody tell you, or in the class, after the class, for example, if somebody come to me or to any one of us, say, what is it? We give it to them. If we know, we give it to them. And we keep things simple. We don't say, "Akhi, you were right there sitting next to me. Well, where your mind was at?" No, we don't go like that. We give. We're human. It happened to us too. So we just keep things simple. Somebody asks you a question, you know it. Oh yeah, akhi, look, I have it on my note. Here, you want it? Here. No questions. Where you been, akhi? Ah, subhanAllah. Fear Allah, man. No. We're human. We don't like. When people talk to us in that way, we get what? Huh? We get offended. Because we're human. But you gotta be easy. Alhamdulillah. So they answer one another, the Shaykh said. Likewise, the Shaykh tells us about some of the actions of the shayateen, the devils, that they steal the statements of the angels so that they cast it to who? To the magicians and the fortune tellers from the people. Because the magicians, they work with the angels, with the shayateen. The magicians, they work with the shayateen. Afwan, with the shayateen. And also, in this hadith, it tells us what the shayateen faced, because they be thrown shuhub, stricken by this fire. And that, with that, some of those devils may relay that statement that they may hear from the angels to the magician or to the fortune teller. لِحِكْمَ يَعْلَمُهَا اللَّهِ. Because of the wisdom from Allah, that Allah knows. Okay? وَإِلَّا فَاللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ لَا يَفُوتُ شَيْءٍ. Nothing is hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is aware of what these devils are doing. Okay? If Allah would for them never to steal anything, hear anything, not even to be there, they won't be there. But there is a hikmah, there is a hikmah, there is a wisdom, there is a hikmah that Allah knows subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of them, they hear some of the statements of the angels. But he add with that statements, the shaitan, or the shaykh, he said also, or that human being who get it from the devil, they add with it 99 lies. And then it will be spread amongst the people. And they will accept it as being the truth because of that one statement from the angels. مناسبه الحديث للباب ان فيه الرد على المشركين. Likewise, this hadith is a clear refutation against the mushrikeen, polytheists, those who fall into shirk. How is that? قال فانه اذا كان هذا حال الملائكه عند سماع كلام الله مع ما اعطاهم الله من القوه علم أنه لا يجوز صرف شيء من العبادة لهم فكيف بمن دونهم. A question. When was the sun rise today? What time is the sun is rising? 7:22? 7:23?
Like 10 minutes,
15 minutes. The ulama, they said that time when the sun is rising is not time to pray. It's prohibited. It's time of prohibition. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, you should add at least 15 to 20 minutes for that time. So some people, they think, mashallah, maybe they don't know. See, that time when they says the sun is rising at 7:20, for example, you cannot pray at that time. Because that's one of the times of prohibition. It's prohibited for us to pray while the sun is rising, while the sun is setting. There is five times the prohibitions. We learn those, alhamdulillah, al-mulakhas al-fiqhi. While the sun is rising, until it gets to a level in the zenith, as in the hadith says, qayda rumh. Qayda rumhin. Meaning it rises in the horizon the length of spear. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, by watching the sun, by looking at the sun, it takes it at least 15 to 20 minutes to get to that position. So we should add that time. If they say that the sun rises at 7, for example, we don't pray at 7 or 7:01 or 7:05. We got to add at least 15 minutes to 20 minutes. We pray at 7:15 or 7:20. طيب هذا للفائدة, because we see some of our brothers, they were praying, that's why I asked first. I didn't know exactly the time. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he commanded us to change the munkar. Man ra'a minkum munkaran falyughayyirhu. Whoever amongst you see an act of evil should change it with his hand or with his tongue or at least with his heart. And keep in mind that those amongst us who may pray at that time, they're not doing a purpose. Maybe they didn't know. And there is no benefit for me to see them or say, oh, a'udhu billah, look at these brothers, man. Astaghfirullah, what they doing? No, astaghfirullah, what I'm doing. That's me, alhamdulillah. We don't know everything. Some people may not know, and this is how we're going to help one another by giving a sincere advice, and may Allah make us from those who are sincere.
Amen.
So the Shaykh, he says, likewise, this hadith is a clear refutation against the polytheists, the mushrikeen. فإنه إذا كان هذا حال الملائكة عند سماع كلام الله مع ما أعطاهم الله من القوة علم أنه لا يجوز صرف شيء من العبادة لهم فكيف من دونهم. If this is the case of the angels, mighty creatures, strong, Allah give them strength, who is not given to many of the of his creatures, and look how they become when they hear the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is not permissible to devote any actions of worship for them. So what about those who devote acts of worship to others who are lesser than the angels? To dead people. Dead. مناسبة الحديث هذا هو ما يستفاد من الحديث. Some of the benefits of this hadith. Number one, الرد على المشركين الذين يعبدون الملائكة والأنبياء والصالحين. This hadith refutes the polytheists, who they worship the angels and prophets and righteous. It's a refutation against the polytheists, whom they worship angels and they worship prophets and righteous. Number two, تعظيم الله سبحانه وأنه المستحق للعبادة وحده لا شريك له. This hadith exalts the glory of Allah and attests that He is the only one worthy of worship. This hadith attests that Allah is the only one worthy of worship. Number three, إثبات علو الله على خلقه. إثبات علو الله على خلقه وإثبات تكلمه بكلام يسمع. That Allah, that hadith actually it proves that Allah is the Most High. Affirm the ulu of Allah. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, likewise this hadith, affirm the speech of Allah. That Allah speaks. His speech that is heard. Because the angels they hear, that is heard. Number four, ibtalu السحر والكهانة وإن صدق الكاهن والساحر في بعض الأحيان. Sorcery sorcerers, magicians, and soothsayers and fortune tellers, that what they say is falsehood. It's falsehood. Even they may speak the truth sometimes. For the hikmah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants it, they may say something and it happens sometimes. But they are upon falsehood. Occasionally they may speak the truth, but actually they are upon falsehood, wal-iyadu billah. And we leave the other hadith, inshaAllah ta'ala, hadith of al-Nawwas ibn Sam'an, radiyallahu anhu, for the next class. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. May Allah protect us. And if I said anything or I translate anything in a way that is not appropriate, please, those who know what is right, let me know about it. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from mistakes and from saying that which is not appropriate. Subhanakallahu wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.